and welcome to Mage Hand Down Low, our after-show talk back where we'll discuss new episodes of Mage Hand High Five from highs to lows and everything in between. I am your host and resident lore keeper, Sarah McStay, and with me are my three illustrious co-hosts.
Max Weinberg, he, him.
Robin Langenhop, they, them.
Casey Pappas, he, him.
First of all, thanks so much for tuning into our little moment of bonus content here. If you like what you're hearing here today, come support us on Patreon. We got more of this where this one came from, but we're throwing this one up on the main feed.
We got more of this with this in this
place. We got this and some more of this. So look, we're going to be releasing these talkbacks on Tuesdays, 1 week after each campaign episode. So if you're part of our Patreon community, you'll basically get weekly episodes now, alternating between the main feed campaign episodes to then these little Patreon only talkbacks. For the first couple of arcs, because we're kind of playing catch up here with some episodes that have already been released, we're going to do one today for episode one and like the beginning of the campaign. And then we're going to have two more talkback episodes that kind of basically cover the first two moments, like arcs of the campaign between Fort Falls Mine and Providence. So we'll have like
spoilers if you haven't listened to those episodes yet.
Yeah,
spoilers we'll for the stuff. Names of towns.
Yeah, we'll have some stuff kind of lumped together here, but then you know, as we start releasing, they'll just be kind of on an every other week basis as well. But hey, y'all,
hi.
We did it. We released episode one.
We did it, Joe.
Hey. Did it, Joe?
We're, thank God, not going to be the next president of the United States.
Speak for yourself. Robin is the closest.
Oh, that's true.
What?
Robin is within the age limit, right?
I suppose legally I could attempt to run for president.
None of us could legally attempt to run for president.
Now do it.
Yeah, hey, yeah, get in the comments if you would vote for Robin for president.
Oh, dear.
Get in the comments.
Well, as much as I am flattered by the concept that you all think I could in any way run a country.
Oh, don't worry. We were doing a bit.
I wasn't.
Y'all, but no, this was so much fun. What a fun, like, first episode introduction to the world. Man, Nuts and Butts got a lot more attention than we thought it was gonna.
Didn't it?
We almost cut it.
Oh, yeah. Fun story on that one. There was some audio weirdness on specifically the saying of Nuts and Butts. And we had this whole debate of like, well, should we just cut it? It's kind of a really dumb joke.
And silly joke.
There was a loud contingent in our little podcast family here that was like, no, we need this. We must keep the butts in.
There was like, I think I got three separate texts from three separate people after the episode released that was just all caps, Nuts and Butts.
I'm pretty sure my mom commented on it.
Yeah, glad we didn't cut it. I mean, listen, it was controversial.
What's controversial about butts?
Nothing. Who doesn't love a butt?
Can I isolate that audio and just have it as like a ringtone or something?
Who doesn't love a butt?
Who doesn't love a butt?
That's just going to be your text alert for Sarah.
Perfect. Well, shit. Yeah, there's a lot going on in this episode. We had our introduction to like the world in general, which we'll get into because that shit's cool. I'm very excited to live here for a little bit. Casey, this is a neat little world you got going.
Assuming we live. Mm.
Yeah,
I'm excited to die in this world.
It's a very scary world to live in. I'm glad you're excited for it, though.
Yeah, wait, I mean, I guess let's just start there. Like, can you tell us a little bit about, like, about the world building, about the, like, your vision for this place, like, what you want it to look like? How much of this do you already have fleshed out? Like, you mentioned town names that we haven't even thought about yet. Like,
yeah, I think the idea came about because I was the campaign is very Dark Tower inspired of Stephen King. There's a little bit of Dark Tower. There's a little bit of Fallout. There's a little bit of a bunch of different things that sort of just converged in my brain. And I was like, oh, I think this would be fun to play. And when I was planning it, I was like, how do I sort of get the sense of this world? Because something that's really neat about the Dark Tower is it feels like the world is dying around them as it's happening. And so I really liked that idea. I really liked this world that is sort of like resisting goodness and the idea that you need to put goodness into the world in order to try and level that out, in order to try and keep, in order to keep things equal. Like the, like that, it's a rough world out there and you need to put some good into it.
It's sweet of you to think that we're not just going to make everything worse.
Yeah, oh. That's true. We did. Yeah. We did create some like pretty morally ambiguous guys to fill this place up. But it is, I mean, I think one thing that really strikes me too is like the world is like rough, but having played a little bit more of it, like it is a lot of the roughness of the world is created by like the shit that the people in power do. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like a lot, like the roughness of the world doesn't come from the communities of the world. Like, and so I mean, I love like there's so many good, wonderful, cool people in the world, like kind of just trying their best.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that because something that I really enjoy about Westerns, like, and something that I wanted to take from Westerns and put into this is sort of this idea of the individual and the community. A lot of Westerns sort of circulate, or sort of revolve around this like loner character that strolls into town one day and takes things into his, usually his own hands. But
yeah. Yeah, there's no women there.
And well, that's something that I wanted to change. But also, I like because there are also some Westerns in which the individual comes in and teaches the community how to fight back. And I love those stories. I love the stories of the individual focusing on the community. I love the idea that like that it's not too late for the individual to care about the community and vice versa.
It's like the Hebrew hammer.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I don't like about a lot of D&D games is like this thing of you know, like we're going to be like the big damn heroes and we're going to come in and save the day and like we're going to help the community help itself. Like I think for me, like it's a lot more powerful when like we as players and as characters can be like from within the community of the world.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a good place to sort of transition into talking about the characters because each of the three of you has a character that is from somewhere in the Badlands or in Threed. You have connections. You have things that you're running towards and things that you're running from. And the idea that,
what?
Like, these...
Lies.
No, we're not running from anything.
Only some
no
of
secrets.
You.
Stump is not
we're
from
vibing.
The world of the Badlands.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, Stump's from Boston.
Stump's
just straight
from
up
the
Boston.
Bronx.
Stump fell into a wormhole one day and, you know, subscribe to the Patreon in order to find out more. But that was what was fun about the characters that y'all brought to the table is that they do come from this world and they do have connections in this world that are going to pull them into some interesting situations down the line. And I mean, should we talk about the characters?
Let's do it.
Well, first of all, I think folks have expressed some curiosity about class builds. Like, so like what's your class? What's your subclass? What are we looking at? And although we're a little early for that level wise here. And then where'd your character come from? What's the idea? Like, what are you angling for? Like, what, talk a little bit about your characters. I don't know, Robin or Max, y'all want to go first?
Max, do it.
Okay.
Putting you on the spot.
This is actually a secret that I'm pretty sure, not a secret, but a piece of information I haven't told any of y'all is that I, Max, have never seen a Western movie.
Oh, shit.
So,
just any?
At all?
I don't think so. I mean, I've seen like Westworld, which kind of counts.
Have you seen Back to the Future 3?
on TV.
Not seen a Western.
That's
interesting.
Wait, I'm shocked that you haven't seen Blazing Saddles.
Okay, but is that really a Western?
Yeah,
I mean, I've also only seen it like once.
Yeah, it is. I think
straight
I think
up,
it is. I know it's not like a drama, but it is like it is.
Are you
a Western?
So do you mean in terms of like in genre, like full blown, like taking themselves self serious Westerns?
Yeah, like if you're doing the real thing, not like a parody of it. Yeah. That
okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm playing Stump Steenling, who is a retired thief who's been living in the mountains with a family for the last 20 years. He's got a wife named Kate and a kid, 6-year-old kid named Sally. I think she's six.
I hope Stump knows.
That's like a classic dad move, though, of being like, how old's my fucking kid?
How old is my kid? God.
My favorite kid, Reed's hand, Surly.
Shit, I got smudged.
Sarah led a game, a dad's trip, and I thought found playing a dad really fun. So I thought it was really fun to play. I thought I'd play another dad for like an extended period of time.
That's right. You did play a grumpy dad in my game as well.
Yeah, they're kind of my go-to right now. I am not a dad in real life. But yeah, I've always really been fascinated with the idea of poisons in D&D. And I wanted to find a way to use them as a main aspect of the class. And I looked for months and months and months for a homebrew that to make it work. And I finally found Ned Turner's Apothecarist subclass in the Guildmaster's Artificers of Ravnica homebrew that he made on DM's Guild. It's built around poisons. We've made a couple tweaks. Haven't been able to find Ned, so shout out Ned. And have just loved it because I think it's really tactical. It's a lot about like crowd control because you can give different statuses to the other enemies. And I think that's really cool. He's also part rogue because you gotta be if you're a former thief.
Did you start with like, okay, I want to play this kind of character, so I'm going to build mechanics around that? Or did you start with like, I want to play these mechanics, I'm going to build a character around the mechanics?
Yeah, I am very much a mechanics first person. So I found the poisoner or the apothecarist and thought, I'm going to build around that. How can I make that work and kind of be an interesting character that would have some sort of conflict in their backstory? So being a retired thief, there might be some, you know, stuff from his background that shows up eventually.
What if
know.
They just didn't? Like, what if we... Like Max keeps trying to tee it up, though. Like, he's like, you don't even want to know, like, what happened in my freaking past. And then Casey just never follows up.
That would be the best recurring joke. We never pay it off.
Especially because he's a rogue, so he does, like, the edgelord, like, loner rogue thing of, like... Ah, yeah, I've had some serious fucking bad days in my past. You guys don't even want to know.
If only you knew what I had gone through in my younger years, you wouldn't want to be saying that to me right now. You know?
He's like, anyway, so moving on.
I have to ask, because I, on our little like group chat where we talk about the show, there have been so many references to like Stump 1.0 and Stump 2.0. Yeah. Is there a previous version of Stump out there somewhere?
Yeah.
And also,
is.
What number of Stump are we on now?
There's a handful, and they're all in tubes, like just kept offsite.
Ooh, yikes!
Yeah, so I think that this is Stump 2.5. I originally gave up on finding any poison, you know, subclass anywhere that I liked. So I started making another one, and it was a warlock, actually. The wild backstory of our Stump 1.0 is he was like a student on a field trip into the Badlands, fell into like a crevice that in the Badlands that like closed up and hit his head. And when he woke up, there was like a supercomputer down in the crevice that like became his warlock patron. And that was about as far as that got because it was kind of like a lost memory situation. So it was going to be a little difficult to play. But
that's
such a different vibe for the show.
Yeah,
it would have been really different. And then, so we had that build, and Casey had made a whole bunch of, you know, parts of the world for that character. And then I went, wait, I found this subclass. I'm going to do this other thing instead, and completely pivoted.
Casey went like full into your ideas. Plans.
Yeah. It was fun because Max, you and I were like coming up with stuff together. We were like, yeah, this and then this and then this. And I was like, cool. Okay. Yeah. I'm fleshing out parts of the world. I've got ideas written down. And then Max comes to me and goes, what if we did something else? what if Stump was a poisoner instead? And I was like, but the god that you befriended.
Yeah, but I made a whole god for this world.
I made like a computer. I made like a guy, and Stump was like, Max was like, but what if he was a poisoner though? And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about Holy Greg? I made a whole cosmos around Holy Greg.
Holy Greg, is that the guy?
Just wait until Holy Greg comes back.
So the other really cool thing about that character, which I guess I won't use if Stump were to die because I'm giving all the information away now, is Stump's name, in that he was going to have forgotten his name and on the computer was going to be an acronym of S-T-U-H-M-P. And I really wish I remembered what that stood for.
Oh, cool.
So that was going to be his name, was going to be Stump from that.
Wait, is that where the name Stump originally came from something?
No, yeah, so why Stump?
So normally when you play D&D games, everyone comes in with a ridiculous name, like Elf Lazar, or from the movie Jarnathan, or, you know, Falaja. And so I come in. I'm just making sounds at this point. And I come in with Stump as my character name, and everyone else has had a name that you would hear out on the street.
Yeah, we did.
Every
pick regular,
single
we did
character
pick regular
has had
names.
Has had a regular person name, I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm Stump. But that name came from Sarah and I were chatting once, and they were talking about a coffee that they really liked. And they said it was called Stump Town.
Shout out Stump Town, baby.
Yeah, shout out Stump Town. Not a sponsor, but if you want to be, hit me up.
Yeah, message us Stump Town Coffee. I know you really need the extra marketing from our podcast.
Yeah, we'll collab on a Stump Steenling brew of coffee. But yeah, so, and we were talking on the phone, and I just couldn't quite understand or comprehend what they were saying. And they were like, Stump Town. And I was like, Stump? They're like, yeah. I was like, why is it Stump? Because I was thinking like the stump of a tree, and I didn't quite get it.
I mean, it is,
and
that.
I said Stump.
It's because it was a logging town.
It's because Portland.
Yeah, Portland is Stump Town because it's a logging industry town.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. So until right now. And so it became Stump, and I said it so many times that it started sounding like a really dumb word. Like when you say a word too many times, it stops sounding real.
Semantic satiation.
And then I went, this is my name now, and it's S-T-U-H-M-P, Stump.
The H is silent, yeah.
And it's also in all caps in all of our phones now.
Yes.
Yeah, well, because Stump 1.0, you always referred to him in all caps because it was an acronym.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Oh, because it was an acronym. Okay, I just thought you were shouting it. I didn't realize it was an acronym. So I just thought
I mean, Stump does Stump. Only have one volume.
Stump does canonically only have one volume.
So, yeah. True, but damn.
So my phone now autocorrects Stump to all caps still, even though
Stump?
We no longer do that.
And it's a year and a half later or so.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we started talking about this. Damn.
So that's kind of Stump.
Nice. I like it.
That's
like
just it.
Well,
Stump.
I like his connection to like, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but like, I think each of the characters has a specific connection to a different piece of the world. Like, Stump very much comes from East Three, like Salome is coming from the Badlands. I think it's kind of cool to see like Stump's connection to the world at large, like how everyone's kind of built into like the world as a facet of the world and as a facet of the community. It's neat.
Yeah.
Robin, you want to talk about Hayden?
Sure. I don't know why I said it like that. Sure.
So... yeah. Oh my god, cute.
What? Okay, so when I was told we were doing a Western thing, my first thought was that, like, that stereotypical, like, Clint Eastwood man with no name type character who, like, comes into a town and goes to save it, but, like, no one, who is that mysterious man? And I didn't want to be that mysterious man, but I still wanted the vibes. So,
yeah.
I liked the idea of, like, taking the concept of like the stranger who comes into town, and it's like, oh, who is this mysterious person? And playing with that in a gendery way. Cause I was like, hey, I'm non-binary. I want to play around with this.
Yeah.
And so that's where the initial kernel started. There's also a little bit of shout out to any Dimension 20 fans out there. The character of Liam Wilhelmina from Crown of Candy is a very impressive Gloomstalker Ranger. But I didn't want to be like your kind of stereotypical rogue. I wanted to, you know, have a little more fun, be a little more playful, and have access to some of those like tracking abilities, because that seemed fun out in like a desert wilderness. I also am a huge fan of Stephen King's Dark Tower series. And so, like, really wanted to lean in to that kind of vibe. Honestly, the shape changing powers of taking on a different face for every job, that came down to, I am kind of a forever DM in my home life, and I wanted to make sure that I stayed excited about Hayden, and I wanted to have the ability to, like, play around with doing different characters and different voices, especially with this being a podcast. I felt like there would be a lot of room for comedy there, hence Carl from HR, and there will be plenty more ridiculous characters where that came from. But yeah, that's the basics of it. At some point, I hope that I can get an actual firearm from Casey so that I can go full gunslinger.
Do you need it?
I feel like
well, there is that.
Hayden does enough damage. Hayden, yeah, the other thing about Hayden, too, oh my God, because we all rolled our stats. And, like, Salome rolled, like, dog shit. Like, I sent Casey my stats, and he was like, re-roll one of those. and, like, Robin rolled so well on Hayden's stats. So Hayden is definitely starting out a little stacked, for sure. Like, I'm sure we'll even out as things kind of go on. But in terms of starting stats, like, Hayden is stacked.
Yeah, and I'm not like a min-max kind of player. I just have, like, had some crazy roles working in my favor to the point where it's like, no, I promise this is actually happening.
No, like, we believe you. It's just brutal. Like, the amount of roles that Hayden has that are just devastating is crazy. So did you, like, I guess same question as for Max. Like, would you say that the, like, character inspo was kind of what came first, and then you, like, built the mechanics around it?
Yeah, I'm bad at the math end of D&D. Like, despite DMing all the time, I don't know the book well. I don't know the rules backwards and forwards. I'm always coming in character first and then trying to, like, shake the book until it tells me, how do I make this happen in my game? Thankfully, I already had a model to work off of, like, okay, I've seen this ranger work before, and I can, like, massage it towards what I want to do with Hayden. But yeah, I always go in character first, and then sometimes create a character that just does not work mechanically in D&D well. In this case, it happened to work out quite nicely, and I'm very happy about it.
Well, also, like, your favorite terrain is desert, which just happens to be everywhere.
There is
that.
You
didn't want to pick, like, lush forest?
Like, I'm
Casey,
sure
Casey has promised me that we're not just solely going to be in desert all the time.
Yeah.
There'll be some other biomes.
That's cool. And then you got the little, like, you have the stranger. Hayden's like a little bounty hunter. Although they are saying something about, like, I don't know if I can keep up this ruse for very much longer. I feel like Hayden is not all that they seem, apparently.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's fine.
Yeah, there's layers there for sure.
So, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't ask questions about Salome to yourself. So,
so you're going to do me a favor conversationally and ask me about Salome?
We're all just going to sit back and watch you interview yourself.
So we're all just going to wait.
I would have just skipped it and been like, yeah, anyway, so that's cool. That's our characters. I'm like too socially awkward to be like, okay, well, time to make it about me.
No, I can guarantee that already Salome is beloved and there will be riots in the streets if we do not talk about the origins of this character.
It's like two people that are just so pissed about it. Yeah. So Salome, I mean, character-wise for me, like, normally I really like to play someone who I feel is, like, baked into the world. Like, I'm a big lore kid. I really love, like, exploring the intricacies of, like, the worlds that we're living in. And so when Casey was like, Western, I was like, great. Okay. Like, I feel like I immediately followed up with, like, 8 questions about, like, what is this world? What's the structure of it? Like, who are the major players? Like, what's the politics of it all? Like, like, give me the lore so that I can create someone who feels like kind of baked into the like fabric of that world. Mm. And, you know, I think one of the things that we've tried to be really intentional about from the beginning in creating a fantasy Western is that both the Western and fantasy genres are really, really fraught with misogyny and racism, and trying to borrow from the aesthetics of both of those genres while imagining a better fantasy for people to live in. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the aspects of that that I did feel equipped to play with and that I wanted to play with was the fact that in a lot of traditional Westerns, there just aren't very many roles for women to play.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a doting wife, you can be a femme fatale, you can run a brothel. That's it. You know, so what I wanted to do was to create someone who on paper like would fit into a traditional Western perfectly, you know, blonde, doting trophy wife, and then look at the toll that becoming that person would take on an actual human being. So I gave Salome this history of having been raised by this really sort of matriarchal family of folk healers where, you know, Salome and her mom and her aunts are all named after like maligned biblical women, like villains of the Bible, basically. We got Salome, her mom is Bathsheba, Beth, and her aunts are Delilah and Magdalena.
Classic.
Jesus, the fourth Briar brother.
There are no Briar brothers. They're all women. And, you know, they were all very inspired by a lot of the really formidable women in my own family. And then send her to a incredibly patriarchal environment in Thrade and then see what it would cost her to become this perfect Western trope.
Okay, I absolutely want to meet this family now after you've described this whole like matrilineal badass clan that you have just hanging out in your backstory.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited to meet Casey and I have talked about the Briar sisters a little bit and they're pretty cool. And yeah, I wanted them to kind of be like folk healers, basically like traveling folk healers. They're very much like of this world. And I guess related to that, class wise, Salome is a paladin and warlock multi-class. She's a Hexblade warlock, no paladin subclass yet. And the idea, like Casey, I think you and I can probably talk about this together, but the idea for her magic is that like the Briar family magic, rather than being connected to a specific like god or deity in this world, is like drawn from the connections between people and like the magic in the sort of mundane connections between community and people and individuals and like living things. So they literally, like the paladin magic in particular, like draws on the connections between life in the world, and is a commitment, like the oath is sort of like a commitment to that. And the warlock level is related in terms of like, it's a different facet of the same coin, but we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. I think the, sort of the magic and the mundane, the divine and the ordinary is also something that I find really interesting and something that I want to bring to this campaign. Sort of the ancient saying that is the birthplace of magic is as above, so below. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we are a reflection of the divine and that the divine is a reflection of us and that you cannot have the divine without the mundane. And so the idea that...
Boy, they don't talk about that in Hebrew school.
Uh-oh.
Tell you that much.
That's so fair. Hey, listen, come to the Mage Hand Down Low for shit they don't teach you in Hebrew school.
So how to fry bacon.
Oh no.
I mean, we'll teach you. Look, if you want the information, like
that's on the highest tier of Patreon.
The forbidden knowledge.
It's the Mage Hand High Five OnlyFans. It's just me in an apron teaching other people how to fry bacon.
Oh God. the highest mage.
What have
mage
we
hand
wrought
to go down
this also
road?
The other only part of the OnlyFans is the ASMR from our various outtakes of our silencing when it gets cut out.
All
of us just
all
going
our weird mouth sounds. This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kumari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty. You see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Oh my
god.
But yeah,
gosh.
For sure. I mean, I think that's like as in terms of like the theology of this world. I feel like it's much less about like gods and much more about the magic and the mundane, the sanctity of life and all that. It's kind of
sort of
fun.
the divine that we carry within us.
Yeah, so like I think that's kind of where Salome comes from, and that, and like, you know, I'm also non-binary, and as I've come into that identity, I feel so much more comfortable playing with femininity. And so I was like, I'm just gonna play someone who's really, really high femme. Like, I want to play a girl's girl for this one, because I finally feel comfortable living there. So she's a good time.
I mean, I think that's one of the joys of D&D is being able to try on different hats and be like, I feel comfortable exploring this. Like, I think it's cool that we get to create this space together as a group to tell a story, to try things out, to share stories with each other, and to just play. I think that's some magic in the mundane right there.
You know, the number of trans friends of mine I know who their new name is the name of a previous D&D character that they didn't realize. Yeah. They were like, oh, apparently I'm trying out names for myself here.
Oh, I was experimenting with Glenn for a minute. That was something from Max's home game. I was looking at Glenn for a little bit. My characters had like masculine names.
Should we talk about the origins of the podcast itself?
Oh, yeah, because we found out Robin got catfished into it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So
here's the real download.
I've been needing to bring this up.
Y'all want the story.
So my story of the origins of this podcast are apparently not the story that everybody else has for the origins of this podcast. So
sorry.
So Sarah and I, like, we had met before doing theater. We were in a production of Into the Woods together, where they were Cinderella and I was the baker, for all of those musical theater nerds out there. And we got really close over the course of that show, and then they immediately moved to the other side of the country. And I was like, oh, well, so much for that friendship that I almost had. But then Sarah got back to me and was like, hey, I have some friends who we were talking about doing some kind of, like, one shot, like just a little like taster. Hey, maybe we'll do an ongoing campaign off of this if we all click with each other. But would you like to join me for this like Wild West one shot story? And then I continued to be under the impression that this is what was happening when during that one shot, I thought we were all like, oh, hey, maybe we've actually got something here. Maybe we should try and turn this into a podcast. Turns out I was being secretly recruited without my knowledge into a pre-existing podcast plan.
So the podcast plan was mine. The secret recruitment of Robin was not mine.
Yeah, no, that was on me.
Max, I distinctly remember you texting me and being like, we are either going to start a podcast or start a theater group, and we are doing one of them. One of them will happen.
We're all dirty and bored.
And so we decided to do a podcast and got Casey involved. Then Sarah was like, I know a person. And that person was Robin. And now we're here.
Okay. So other words, my like sweet, organic, like, oh, we found this beautiful thing together and realized we had to share it with the world was absolutely a deception from start to finish.
Okay.
Casey had this plan well before we even started podcast thinking.
Look, like for the Western, not for deceiving Robin.
Oh, okay.
No. For the Western.
You do not put this at my feet.
No, okay. So here's what happened. This is all Casey's fault. Look, it's a little more innocent than it sounds, even though it was a little bit nefarious.
Is it?
But like, you're welcome. Okay, one thing that you should know about me is that I have social anxiety also regular anxiety, but it's always kind of, it's like, you can't just go to someone and be like, hey, do you want to like commit really hard to like doing a podcast with like me, who you just met a few months ago, and like some friends of mine that you don't know.
And two dudes.
Absolutely, if you ask like that.
Two random guys. And so I'm like, okay, this is going to be weird. So I was like, okay, like we gotta test it out. And then we also like, we weren't sure that like Robin would click with how we were playing. We weren't sure if Robin would like how we were playing. Like, so there was so many variables that I was like, okay, I can't make this, like, this could get so weird in so many different ways. So I was like, hey, Robin, what if we just like hung out and played a little game? And then it slowly became this thing of like, how do we give Robin the idea, like make Robin think it was their idea through this like IV drip of a podcast.
There's also no we in this. This is all Sarah. Casey and I were under the impression that they had told Robin that this was possibly a podcast. And so that's how I was speaking
about it.
Looking
back on it, it's terribly crafty.
So the moral of the story for the kids at home is lying gets you what you want. Just keep doing it.
Look, I mean, is it lying or is it just choosing what I said carefully?
Well, here's the thing about it is that, honestly, if you had come to me with the ridiculous, like, hey, you want to commit hardcore to this person that you basically just met and a bunch of strangers to make a podcast, I might have just gone for it. This is something that I have personally been wanting to do for the longest time. Like what I go to D&D for, honestly, is collaborative creativity. It's what I go to theater for. And I've always wanted to have some kind of outlet like this and could never find people who were interested in committing on the level that I did. So if you had come to me with the extreme energy of like, hey, you want to overcommit, I'd be like, I'm already in. Like,
I just didn't have it in me. You were like still a pretty new friend, and I was definitely I had like one of those little friend crushes on you where I was like, oh man, I really want to be friends with Robin, but I don't want to make it weird. Like, so I was just so anxious about all of it.
I'm the blunt one in this group and the direct one. And even I wouldn't be like, hey, do you want to come join our group to make a podcast? And we're going to be doing this and it's a commitment for the rest of your life. I would say absolutely fucking not if you came at me with that energy. But if you're like, hey, me and my friends are making a D&D podcast, where, you know, you're into D&D and you're a good performer, you want to join us? Yeah.
Okay,
maybe.
But like,
let's
what
check
if it
out.
Was weird? Like, what if that first session went super weird? And like,
then I would have been direct and blunt and said, it's not going to work.
But like, okay, but hear me out, right? Like, what if I had played with Robin one time. Like, what if they came in and were just so fucking weird? Like,
you have the conversation as professionals. It's really nice not having anxiety, y'all. I highly recommend
it.
I don't know what that's like. I wish, man. That sounds great.
I don't know. I got pretty severe ADD, so we'll see.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's fair. That's something.
We'll let you back in.
For the folks at home, I've pitched about 700 different ideas and everyone's been like, that's pretty good, but finish the first one.
So that's how we catfished Robin into joining us. And we're so glad they did.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
We're better for it. Hey, the real lies are the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, well, shoot. I mean, coming back into, I guess, like episode.
God darn it.
Yeah, coming back into, like, you know, the episode one and like the introduction to the world, the introduction to the characters. We had the meeting on the train. We had like a very fun moment of Stump abandoning his loyal steed as his first action.
What a
of
move!
The game.
Not just my first action. I've never been presented with a moment so early in a game that was like, well, if you roll low, that's it.
Wait, yeah, Casey, what the fuck? What would you have done if Max like rolled a one to try to jump onto the train? Would we have had to bring Stump 1.0 back?
I need you to understand.
Just a whole new character with the exact same name immediately walks in.
It's Stump, but with a mustache.
Like, that had to have been what would have happened?
I need you to understand. That keeps me up at night, that question. There are nights where I sit there and I go, what would I have done?
No, for real. I have had times in my own games where I have called for a roll and then gone, I should have just let them do that. If they roll poorly, it's going to mess up my whole deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there had to, like, we could have, I think worst case scenario, Stump misses the jump and ends up maybe getting, like, dragged behind the train or something. And,
yeah.
Like,
worst
Salome,
case scenario?
Yeah, and, that's, like, no, and, like, Salome and Hayden have to, like, get out and try to help. You know what
I
mean?
I think, Oh, I think I mean, worst case scenario is I jump, I miss, and I get split in half by a train.
Oh, yeah. I mean, worst case, as in the DM pivot.
The worst case scenario that I can bring to the table.
Yeah.
Without
ruining friendships.
If you failed that role and then got sucked under the wheels of the train, episode one.
That could have ended a friendship.
Genuinely, you can take my DM card.
That would have been so funny if you're like, hey, Max is done for episode one, roll a new character, we'll talk about it for episode two. And then like 15 episodes in, the assassin that's chasing Stump, you meet up with him and there's just like a body in like a cell somewhere and it turns out that it's Stump and I have to come back with Stump.
Could you imagine a show? Like a D&D show with that level of high lethality where it's like, yeah, we'll kill off a main player in episode one. You don't know what's going to happen.
Like the Max, I thought you were going to say 15 episodes later, I'm into my 15th character.
Yeah, Max is doing a Monster of the Week game while we're all playing. Like, oh, man. And then we had like, I feel like for me, when shit kind of got real, we had the raiders on the train and like the fight with the and I think that was the moment where the like tonal register of this world kind of dropped in for me, where I was, you know, I think we were all kind of like, well, we want to strike a balance, like we're not going to market ourselves as a comedy podcast, like we're going to market ourselves as a storytelling podcast, so
yeah,
we're going to tell, you know, we're going to tell the story we need to tell, like we're going to go for maybe a blend of comedy and drama, like we're not going to make ourselves like beholden to like constantly making jokes all the time, we're just going to tell the story. And I think, like, you know, we're all really enjoying working in that way. But then what happened was, like, Casey busted out this, like, oh, yeah, the guard is laying on the floor with his throat ripped out. And we were all like, oh, OK, so this world gets, like, real. Like, this world gets intense.
Yeah. Well, I needed to figure out how to get three characters who did not want to reveal anything about themselves to each other.
Yeah,
how
sorry.
To get y'all,
sorry about it.
How to get y'all on the same team. And yeah. So I was like, well, I need to trap them together and then force them to fight their way out. And the most, I think, one of the most contained places in a Western is in a train car. Mm-hmm. And if there's an immediate threat, y'all aren't going to be like, well, what's your deal? What are you running from?
We just go back into the train car and have a seat. Just like, yeah, I'm sure this will sort itself out.
Yeah. And we keep hearkening back to Crown of Candy, but I think Crown of Candy was a little bit of a at least tonal influence on this campaign. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's great.
Honestly, shout out Critic. I mean, if you're here on our podcast and haven't heard Crown of Candy, I'm shocked. But also, like, we are literally marketing ourselves as your third favorite, and we know what one and two are.
Yeah. But all that to say, I loved Crown of Candy. Like, everything starts out really, like, nice and genial, and everybody's talking to each other, and it's friendly. And then somebody gets shot in the throat and is making death-saving throws, and there's just... It flips on a dime. And I love those kinds of stories that, like, everything feels fine and then everything is going wrong. Mm-hmm. I like sort of dancing on the edge of a knife.
One minute you're talking about pockets, next minute you are, you know.
You're putting someone in the pocket of the Lord.
That was, as I say to Teddy every morning, big stretch, but
catch a bloody corpse and put it in your pocket.
They don't speak about any of that at Hebrew school.
Come straight out of Hebrew school. Come here. We'll teach you all the shit you gotta know.
Can I give you a wild Hebrew school story?
Go for it.
Yeah, so I don't remember who it was, but when I was in like third or fourth grade, we were talking about like ethics, and someone was talking about how they recently heard someone talking about like this thing that was called like Children of India, and the teacher just couldn't figure out what concept Children of India was until the student was like, hey, yeah, It's like about like killing things. And they were like, you mean euthanasia?
Wait, what? Like they just heard the words wrong?
They couldn't remember. They were thinking like youth, children in India, Asia. So
youth in Asia.
So they were like, yeah, like it's that thing, like, you know, about killing people, like dogs and people, like children of India. It's youth in Asia.
Oh my god.
Shout out if you are the person from my Hebrew school class in third or fourth grade who said that. Get in the comments.
That's pretty good. That's good Hebrew school content. That's pretty good. Yeah, sure. More of those.
But back to the story, I got to give a high five to Sarah for their reaction to when Stump was ritual casting Detect Poison and Disease on the drink that Hayden gave them both.
Yes.
I just like didn't even cross my mind, and it
what
was
what did I drink?
It was so funny. What did I just drink? Yeah. It was so
what
good.
What did I drink?
It was so good.
I mean, I think there's a thank you. I think there's a level of like we're all coming from really different like social worlds. And I think Salome is very much like, you know, it's that classic like Southern hospitality of like you eat what you're given, like you know, you take what's in front of you. If you're a guest in somebody's home, like you take what they have to drink. If someone offers you something, you take it. Like, so of course she's immediately going to be like, yeah, sure, if you're offering, I'll take it. And Stump is a poisoner. So he's going to be suspicious. Shout out to the, also like, I loved the, are we calling them high fives? Is that what you said? I love the.
I
love that.
Yeah. Okay. High five to. I love like the budding rivalry between Hayden and Stump.
Oh my god! Yes.
We gotta bring that back.
Yeah. No, there's some of it throughout. It's so fun. Like y'all, just because I think you do have similar kind of like roguish edgelord skill sets, so for you to be like, which one of us is going to be better at picking the lock, like,
right.
Casey, give us like a rogue obstacle course for us to do.
Oh jeez.
Oh, god.
Okay, challenge accepted.
That's just go fun.
And then also
Legends
have Salome do
temple.
It
oh god. Also, like, yeah, shout out, a huge high five to Casey for just like how rich and colorful and amazing this world feels. Like, even think like the just like the micro things of like language in this world, how there's little things that are already unique to this world, like calling gunpowder, the crates are full of we're calling them fire powder because like fire powder is what sort of gunpowder is called in this world. And then like there's a little bit of we haven't talked a lot about this yet, but Salome's family has like a relationship with life and death and like helping people through that transition. And like, yeah, what we sort of call death in this world is like crossing the river, and like that has to do with a lot of like the you know, the philosophy of the world. And like it just feels already like we're dropping into such a huge, beautiful, incredible place.
Speaking of which, we absolutely have to talk about the end of the episode and that like weird shadow creature thing
that
only Salome could see.
Okay. Well, yeah, Casey, you want to tell us what that is?
Salome had that like really intense emotional moment leading I don't even remember the person's name.
Philip Coriander.
Yes. Yeah. Like leading him across the river, and this very point, like there's improvising comedy and there's improvising empathy and pathos and intensity, and Sarah just pulled that scene whole cloth out of nowhere, which is just truly impressive to see from an improvising standpoint.
Thanks,
Ben. And then to double up on that with Casey bringing in this terrifying image and then just leave us all hanging with it.
Yeah, who is she? That's Casey. I will say about you, you are like a master of the cliffhanger. Like we've done a few episodes now and your cliffhangers are so solid.
Well, you gotta keep people coming back, right?
Yeah, there's some spooky
shit. We're contractually obligated to come back, so you don't gotta make us come back.
If it's we already catfished Robin in.
I mean, I keep talking about different...
I signed away my house.
I keep talking about different influences, and something that I really enjoyed, something that I grew up watching, are sort of those old shows from the 70s and 60s that, like, they end on a cliffhanger every time. You'll have to stay tuned for the next episode to see if Johnny gets out of the well this time. And
this time, how many times has Johnny been stuck in the well?
To be perfectly honest,
at this point, Johnny lives in the well. Like, he's setting up a little.
The well has its own zip code.
He's got a timeshare down there.
Why does Johnny want to get out of the well if he's set up a place to live?
Because he's got to go. He's got to buy bread.
He's getting rescued solely for grocery trips.
He's like, can somebody get me out? I have to get lettuce to get my kale.
My kale went bad. Can I get more?
Guys, I need the artisan cheeses.
Shut up, Johnny. Puts the friggin' lid back on.
My avocado is too hard. I need one that's softer.
Millennials and their well avocados.
All that to say, I enjoy the drama. I enjoy the suspense of there's a fun air, like an electricity in the air when you build up to something, and you're like, and the creature comes out of the darkness, and you begin to see its gnarled hands. And that is where we'll pick up next time. The just dread that comes over the players of, like, I have to wait until next week to figure this out.
We record weekly. We don't record in batch. So we, as people, have to wait.
Yeah.
So the dread is real. The dread is real, and it's fun. And I look forward to it.
You do it. You do it well. Damn, big shout out to, like, okay, I love Carl from HR. High five for Carl from HR.
He's got to come back. I got to bring him back.
Also, Max, I feel like your little interaction with Sally was really sweet, with, like, the special rocks and, like, the little poison-coated dagger. Like, that was just a lovely little dad moment.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's, I don't know. Dads are fun.
Dads are fun.
They can kind of be nice and awkward at the same time. Especially because you can play like both a high low status and a low high status, and it's really just kind of fun to play with those.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending on who you're with,
that is very true.
I would like to give a high five to all three of you, and that seems like a cop out, but hear me out.
This is like at Thanksgiving when moms are like, "I'm so thankful for family."
Listen, as the campaign mom, it is partially my responsibility, but I think the way y'all interact with NPCs is so much fun. Y'all aren't approaching, like, this is very much a survive by the skin of your teeth campaign, and it's fascinating because y'all aren't approaching it from a murder hobo standpoint, and that's so great for me.
Yet.
But I like the way you interact with NPCs. Like, you breathe life into your own characters, but you also breathe life into mine. And that's honestly, that's what keeps me coming back. This is y'all.
All of us breathing into each other.
Oh,
okay. Well,
I was about to say, that's called CPR, Casey. All right.
Cool.
No, thank you, Casey. I'm sorry.
You know what? End the episode.
This has been the first download.
You know, we appreciate you too. It's good. It's good shit. We had a lot of fun. Well, hey, I hope y'all had as much fun as we did. We hope you keep coming back. Thank you so much again for joining us here for our first little talk back. We had a lot of fun doing it.
And if you're listening to this on the main feed, make sure that you hop in and join the Mage Hand down low on our Patreon so that you can get more of this wonderful bonus content.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, hey, if you want to chat with us, get a little bit more like real-time info, questions, answers, feedback, all that stuff, we're building up a really cool
community. Sarah's phone number is 238-59.
That was too close. I didn't like that. That was almost correct.
Was it?
But yeah, no, come join us on Discord. We've got the link to the Discord and all of our socials and the link for this episode. We've got a really fun community over there. And can't wait to see you there. And in the meantime, hey, how about a high five?
Down low. Oh, you gotta end this with down low.
Yeah, all how about a down low?
How about a down low? That sounds disgusting. I don't like it.
Slap it down low.
Yes, yeah, hey. Disgusting.
All right, how about this?
Hey, how do we about like... a down low?
All right, hey, we're workshopping it. Okay, hey, down low?
Too slow.
Yeah, we're
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. End the episode.